Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you happy to be in church this morning? I'm also so happy to be in church this morning. And I believe that God is with us here today. Amen. Why don't you turn to your friend and tell your friend that God is with us here today? And your life will never be the same again. Hallelujah. Today is a very powerful day. And I believe that it's very powerful. Hallelujah. For what is happening here and what is happening, God is doing in the life of our brother and our sister. I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. So you're all welcome to church this morning. I just wanted to share a short word of the Lord, and then we'll continue with what the Lord has for us today. And I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And every Christian should come to church with a Bible. Every Christian should come to church with a Bible. Powerful. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. I want to read from the King James Version. It says that we have also a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Hallelujah. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. If you read the New International Version, you know, sometimes when you read the King James, you don't understand it so well. So you take other translations of the Bible, other versions, and you read. So you read a New International Version. It says the same, 2 Peter 1, 19 to 20. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. Hallelujah. Something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it. So, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Then the verse 20 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Hallelujah. No prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. So today I want to talk for a short while about the fact that you can make the scriptures come true in your life. Hallelujah. So how to make the scriptures come true in your life. And the scriptures are a living word. Amen. The Bible says that we have something completely reliable, and we have a sure word of prophecy. So reliable. Hallelujah. So reliable. And he says that the scriptures, the prophets were moved by the Holy Ghost when they spoke. That is why no scripture is of any prophet's own understanding or from any human initiative. So, in other words, the Bible is full of prophecies and full of scriptures that God has spoken by the Spirit. And the Bible was not written by man, so that you can use human understanding. Do you get it? You want to try to understand it in a way that will make meaning. You see, the very day the Bible starts making human meaning to you, God ceases to be God. And the very day God begins to make his ways too clear to you, and you can understand every way of God, he ceases to be God. Hallelujah. And so the Bible is full of prophecies. And how do you make this word, this reliable word of the Lord, come true in your life? How do you make it come true in your life? For instance, if you take the prophecy, which is the word. You see, you don't need to go to a prophet before you receive a prophetic word. Holy men spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Do you get it? So, every prophecy you want is in the Bible. At best, a prophet will just confirm what is already in the Bible. At best. That is why if you go anywhere, for instance, somebody went to see a prophet, and the prophet told a person that in your man kitten kitty be how walk when mu. I say in your man kitten kitty homi woma se mu. Manantia nantia nanti minya bwa phobia. Eje besami yari mame na menya awazena masu. Look, yarin kitten kitty. So small things in kitten kitty was happening in her marriage. Then she went to see a prophet. And the prophet told her that if she does not change her name from the Mrs. If you say Mrs. Opoku, if she doesn't change her name from Mrs. Opoku to her maiden name, maybe Akosua Ntrewa or something, to her maiden name, Akosua Ntrewa, the things will never stop. All the problems she's going to never stop. So this woman went to and this is a very educated person, even a lawyer. The person was a lawyer. Went to wherever to go and change her name back to her maiden name. And that was the beginning of her problem. But the problem became worse. And the prophet was nowhere to be found. Meanwhile, Bible says that what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Do you get it? So what I'm saying is that God has a sure word for you. Hallelujah. God has a sure word for you. And everything in the Bible is a prophetic word. And so I don't need anybody. And some of you see, those of you who are sitting down to read your Bible, you always want to go to somebody to tell you that the radi can ye. Meanwhile, the radi can know your Bible no more than that. That's all that I'm trying to tell you. So whatever a prophet tells you, even whatever your pastor tells you, you have to go back to the Bible to see whether it makes sense, whether it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, you take it. Amen. So dear Lord, everything in the Bible is a prophetic word for you. I don't need anybody to see that I see you go to America before I go to America. The Bible always says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, does it include Swaziland? Does it include Afghanistan? Does it include America? So you don't need anybody to tell you, isn't it? It's already in the Bible. Amen. So let's see one of the things in the Bible. For instance, Galatians chapter 4 verse 28. I'm talking about how this prophetic word can work in your life. Because Jesus said in John 6:63 that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Do you get it? When I went to school to do theology, I realized that the difference between the letter and the spirit. The difference between the letter and the spirit. And Jesus said that the letter killeth. The letter, it kills you. But the spirit, it does what? It gives life. And so the word of God is supposed to give you life. It's not supposed to make you dull. It's not the way to make your life so miserable. Hallelujah. So the word is life. Amen. Now Galatians 4:28 says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Amen. Is it not a very wild prophecy you can ever hear? We as Isaac are the children of promise. Now, how does this affect you as you sit here today as a Christian? How does it affect you? Because Isaac, the children of promise, means that we have been made the same as Isaac, the same as Abraham's seed by Christ Jesus. So this prophecy affects us. And what happened to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, 12 to 14, he said that, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold return. Which means that if you are really going by the word of God, then whatever Isaac did that work for him should work for you also. That means that if you also work, if you also plant anything, you should sow a hundredfold returns. Those who believe are receiving it. And the Bible said, and the Lord blessed Isaac, and the man was great. Robert, you are going to be great. May you never go back in Jesus' name. May you go forward in life always in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that, and he grew until he became very great. I'm prophesying to you this morning, oh. He grew to become what? Very great. Everybody sitting here, you are going to grow to become very great. I'm not the one telling you. God is saying that as Isaac was, and if you believe that the scriptures are for you, and then every scripture is from God, and you are a child of that promise, then you are also on your way to becoming very great. Hey! For he had possession of flocks. It means Isaac had a lot of things. And possessions of herds. And great store of servants. And then the Bible said the Philistines envied him. May God bless you so much that the people who don't want to move with you, they will have no choice. You cannot help it, isn't it? You cannot. It's not your fault, isn't it? It's not your fault that you are blessed. It's not your fault that God has blessed you. They will envy you. It's a promise. But you will still be blessed. If you have not been blessed to the extent that people are envying you, then you are not blessed. Hey! And the people who envy you will not be your brothers and your sisters. No. He said, and the Philistines envied him. And the Bible said that as Isaac was, you are also like Isaac. So that is the promise. And this promise, together with every promise, can come true in your life. If you believe that it is the word of God, and it cannot be by any private interpretation. It cannot be by any interpretation from scholars. You cannot, scholars, if you are a scholar, you don't have the spirit. You cannot interpret the Bible to us. Do you get it? Because the Bible was not written in a classroom. It was written as the holy men were moved by the spirit. So for you to first of all even accept the word of God. So we need to accept the word of God. And for you to accept the word of God, you have to be a certain kind of person. You have to be a certain kind of person. And what kind of person do you have to be? In Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10 says that, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, you need to put on a new man for you to understand scriptures. Can I give you an example? There was a man called Nicodemus. He was a church elder. And one day he went to Jesus. But when he went to Jesus, he didn't have the new man. He didn't have the new man. And so Jesus started telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, I know you go to Lighthouse Chapel International. I know you pay your tithe. I know you come to church regularly, but you still must be born again. You have to be born again. Nicodemus looked at God and said, what do you mean? I'm an elder in my church. I give offering. I bought an organ for the church. In fact, the church clock, I bought it. My name is even written on Nicodemus, A.A. Nicodemus. I was the one who bought it. So how are you telling me now that I should be born again? And then he started using human interpretation. He said, how can me, an old man, enter into my mother's womb How can I enter into a marriage? Jesus, you know how men are born. Men are born when a woman and a man meet. When a man and a woman meet. And then something like that, some things, logoligish, happen. And then a man is born. But if you look at me, Nicodemus, I'm already bald-headed. How can I go into my mother's womb? So immediately he's using human interpretation. He's using his mind to understand what Jesus was saying. Then Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have missed it. What I'm telling you, you can't understand it by the way you see things. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. Because when you become born again, you put on a new man. And then the new man now begin to interpret to you the scriptures. Begin to let you understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. I remember what the former Presby moderator said, Professor Marty, in one of his lectures. He said that anybody who says that when you read the Bible or when you study in a certain way, you will lose the scriptures, it means that you yourself, you don't know what is in you. Because you have to understand, you have to be born again before you can actually read the Bible. Because you cannot be a professor and read the Bible and understand. You have to be born again before you can read the Bible. You cannot read the Bible, you cannot understand the Bible before you get born again. You rather get born again before you understand the Bible. That is why up to today you are still arguing. You are still arguing with the word. How this? And Nicodemus was doing the same thing. How can I be born again? And he says, you have to be born by the water and by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So put on the new man for you to understand. If you give your life to Christ, it means the Spirit of God has now taken over. And then the things that you used to read, when I was reading RS at A-levels, I thought that it was just a course. I never understood it in the Spirit. But when I got born again, the same thing that looked like a course became life to me. It became life to me. So, hey, I used to think that this was this. I used to think, but now beginning to that, it is not this. It is life. It is life. Hallelujah. And so, you need to put on the new man. Because the old man, which is yourself, is corrupt. Your old man, including your way of understanding things, is corrupt. It is totally corrupt. That's why even naturally, if you're a man, and you see a woman, the woman may not even be your wife. And then you can easily have some feelings. Even if you don't want to have the feelings. You understand? Guys, are you here in the church? Yeah. It means your body is bad. Naturally, it's a bad body. You came to church. The ladies are singing. Instead of just flowing with the singing, you look at the breast and suddenly you have started thinking, hey, I saw him Mumba Mofu. Did you come to look at Mba or you came to hear the word? But it's not your fault. It's not the flesh itself is corrupt. The flesh itself is so bad. Even what you don't want to think, you start thinking about. Hasn't it occurred to you before? Has it happened to you before? The brothers are always honest. The sisters are a bit, but the brothers are always honest. But what can help you from this bad flesh? It is the Spirit. Hallelujah. New man. So that is why the Bible says that. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the natural man is not a sinful person. You can't be a Christian and be a natural person. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They are foolishness. If you go and tell a natural man right now that give your life to Christ, that there's a heaven, there's a hell, say you are a foolish man. Where is heaven and where is hell? Heaven was as Isu. Hell was as Isu. Yehu and Yehu. Because we go and tell that there's a heaven. It's foolishness. Have you been to heaven before? Have you been to heaven? Do you know where heaven is? So they are foolishness. And the thing is that God has already explained your situation to you, that they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. You have to be in the spirit. How do you be in the spirit? To be born again. Let God give you the new man. Hallelujah. A new man is a new man. Some people are new, but they are not new. Like some of the women. You can pretend to be a new man, but you will not be a new man. A new man is not by outward appearance. Yeah. That's why I've told the young men, anytime you're going to propose to a woman, just give her a bottle of water to wash her face. Because the person is looking new, but they are pancake. And they are, look at all of you, are looking new like that. If you know the potholes, you know. Hey! If you know the potholes, hey! You can be new, but it's artificial new. One day I saw a lady, she was walking. I said, what a slim woman like that. What a slim woman. Hey! And then, you know, as we say, shall we hug? I realized that the woman's, it was like cement. No, she has used, what do you call it? Body corset. Hey! So this one is artificially new. Do you get it? I'm not talking about that one. I'm not talking about that one. Like the brother who saw the lady say, this lady, your hair is nice, I'll marry you. When they went for the honeymoon, the night, the lady started removing her wedding gown. Then after everything, she removed her hair. Not knowing that she was Sakura. Hey! The man was very surprised. Many of you are artificially new, especially on Sundays. If you want to know our real sisters and the brothers, go and visit them early morning. Early morning. Or Saturday afternoon when they are cooking a banquet and they are cooking and pounding fufu. Pay them a surprise visit. That is when you see the real person. Do you get it? So we are not deceived by what we see here. It's only small boys who are deceived by what we see here. We are not deceived at all. We know it is weak. We know it's weak. We even know it is Brazilian. We know it is Ukrainian. We know it is Indian. And we know it's what again? Nigerian. But the Nigerian is just like ours. Nigerian one is just like ours. So that one we know already. So artificial, this no. Jesus said that if you want to be a new person, it starts from the inside. You get born again from the inside. Your spirit is renewed. Hallelujah. That is why natural people cannot understand. To conclude my message this morning, you need to understand that the Bible is for you. You need to understand it. The Bible is for you. And that one of the ways it's going to work for you is that you have to be like a child. You have to be like a child. Many of us, we are still working in our problems, because we are not ready to humble ourselves to become children to receive the word of God. To become children to receive the word of God. But we need to become little children. Jesus took a little child. He said, we can't like one of these little children. You cannot enter into a kingdom of heaven. So you have to be a child. You have to humble yourself to receive the word. It means that whatever you think you know, when it comes to God, you have to put it aside. Why am I saying that? Let me just give you another example. In 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1 to 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. Naaman was what? A great man. Very great. Naaman was a minister of moon and stars. Naaman was a great man. And honorable. Honorable. Honorable Naaman. Hey! The man was great. Because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. But he was also a mighty man. He has accomplished great things. But he was a leper. You see, you can be very great, but you have a problem. One day I visited a very great couple somewhere in cantonment. I visited this so great. I don't want to even slip to say anything for you to know the couple I'm talking about. So great. Big. When I visited them, we were talking. Suddenly, the woman started panicking. I said, what's wrong? Because she heard a car was honking. So she started panicking. She said, please, 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 please. I said, as if something has come up. Not knowing that the husband was coming home. I said, Abba, if your husband is coming home, why is this please, please, and all this coming from? Not knowing that even though they are so great, but they have a problem in their marriage. They go out, they show off, they wear the same attire, the same colors to match, but they have a problem. And Naaman had a problem. But often you see, people have problems, but what it takes for the problem to solve is humility. Humility. You are great and you have a problem. Are you going to be great and die in your problem? Wouldn't you rather humble yourself so that your problem will be solved? But he was a leper. And there are many of you sitting here today. You look great. But there may be a problem. You may also be great, but still there may be a problem. But he was a leper. But that problem can be solved. It can be solved. It can be solved. Hallelujah. So Bible says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. Now, Naaman is showing us a very great principle here. Even though he was great, in spite of all his great friends, none have been able to help him. And then help was coming from a maid. How many of you will listen to your maid? If your maid sat you down today and say, sir, yesterday I had a dream. Say, first of all, I'm so old. But Naaman, in spite of the fact that he was great, he had the humility to also listen to a little maid. Humility to listen to a little maid. See, you never can tell where your blessings will come from. You never can tell. That's some of us, you see, we can't relate with anybody. We only relate to our class. He had been relating with his class. They were only showing him 5-star clinics, and none was able to solve his problem for him. They said, go here. I know somewhere in Israel. He went. Everywhere he went. With his money, nothing happened. But a maid. Some of you say, I cannot listen to a small boy. Somebody I'm older than, I can never listen to the person. I will never take an advice from that person. But Naaman, he listened to a maid. Even some of you say that me, I can never take any advice from an Ewe because I'm an Ashanti. Or I can never take any from Ashanti, I'm an Ewe. Or we guns, we this, we don't know, you see. But Naaman, in spite of the fact that he was great, he listened to what? Embed. You see, it is neither Jew nor Greek. It is who is filled by the Spirit of God. It's neither Jew nor Greek. That's why you can even see that people cannot marry from different tribes. Say, hey, is he from our tribe? Is he from our this? You are still natural. You are still not in the Spirit. And by the grace of God, I hope after today, you will be in the Spirit. Amen. She was a maid. Naaman said, look, even though she's a maid, still, let me go, because I'm the one who is suffering. All those guys said, forget about your maid. They are not the ones. You see, when any time Naaman goes to sleep, you have no idea. His wife will be scratching his back with comb. Because the itch was worse. He's the one suffering. And when you're a military man, can you imagine Naaman will go for parade? And he's standing there. Attention! Uday! Ups! He can't move. Raise your leg! He's supposed to be like this, meanwhile he's itching. How can you do that? It was suffering. And some of you are suffering. And because of people start sitting by you, don't want to show that you know you are suffering. I said today, if you are suffering, humble yourself and receive from God. You are the one who feels it. You are the one feeling it. So say, whether there is a maid or not, I'm going to see the prophet. Whether the church is older than me or not, I can have my solutions there. I will go and see the prophet. So he went. When he went, his thing wanted to come at a point. You know, when you are a great man, that's why no matter how a madman is treated, there's a symptom. When you are a great man, it's not easy to be. So when he went, they said, look, go and bath in the river Jordan. He said, what do you mean? This dirty river, me, I've been bathing in jacuzzis and this, I should go and bathing. But still, because it's naturally someone who takes instruction, another person to my friend, just go and humble yourself after you have come. And then he went, humbled himself and bowed. What happened? He was healed. At the end of the day, the word of God, what word worked for him? The word that worked for me is that he sent forth his word and healed all our diseases. Hallelujah. He sent forth his word and healed all our diseases. So the word of God can work for you. Only humble yourself. Put yourself under the word. Put yourself, put away all your armor, put away all whatever. Put yourself under the word. There is no problem God cannot solve. There is no problem. There's no question that the answer is not in the Bible. Only let the old man go and put on the new man. The new man, which is renewed, your spirit is renewed by God. And you see that you begin to understand things. You begin to flow with God. And then the word of God will not be boring to you again. That's why some of when you go to church, you say, me, I want a church that preaches 2 hours near your coffee. I dare you would day. How can you just enjoy for 2 hours? It means that, see, anytime you are itching to go away because you want to go to a church that close 2 hours, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It means you see, if you are eating and the food is nice, don't you want more? Yeah. So until you get to a point that you can sit down and hear the word for hours, your spirit has not been properly renewed. I'm telling you, we've all been where you are before. It has not been properly renewed. So I want to tell you from today that the word of God is very nice. It's a problem solver. It is spirit. And it is life. And when you take it, you'll be blessed. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Can I have the hymn squad? Some of the choruses move upstage whilst we bow our heads, so that some outside can have seat to sit. Let's bow down heads, everybody. The word that you have heard today, I just want you to understand it. Just a minute, Roland, just a minute. The word that you have heard today, I want to give an opportunity, just as Jesus gave Nicodemus the opportunity to give his life to Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you came to church today, somebody invited you, or you came for any reason. But deep down in your heart, you are not sure you are born again. You are not sure you go to heaven when you die. And you want to say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to know that I'll go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell. So, Pastor, please pray for me to give my life to Jesus. You are here. You want me to pray for you to give your life to Jesus. I want you to raise your right hand. I'm going to pray with you right now. God bless you. Just raise your hand up high above your head. Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Lift up your right hand. Let's pray together. Lift it up high. Let's pray together. Wonderful. Now, all of us are going to pray together. I'm not going to call you forward. All of us are going to pray. So let them stand, and all of us will pray together and give them the books wherever they are. Wonderful. So stand to your feet if your hand is up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So let them keep standing. Good. Let them keep standing. But all of us, I want us to say this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
I confess with my mouth
that Jesus
is Lord,
and from today
I take Jesus
into my heart
as my Lord
and my personal Savior.
Thank you, Lord Jesus,
for accepting me
just as I am
and making me your child.
From today
I am yours
and you are mine
in Jesus' name.
Amen.